Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. This is Kelly Higdon, and I am going to be introducing you to Bridget Pence, a counselor and the owner of Nourish Wellness Therapy in a very small rural town in Montana. And she is in her first year of practice, which I think is so fun to look at that first year process. It's really unique to the private practice journey, I feel like. And we're going to get some insights into what has helped her get started and to grow into full-time private practice in under a year. Let's get started. Welcome, Bridget.
Hi, thank you so much again for having me. It's exciting to be here.
I love where you're at right now in practice, this like huge learning curve, and also kind of paired with a common issue that people bring to us of how do I do this if I'm in a small town? I'm in rural America, or like the community I'm in doesn't feel like it's going to be conducive to full-time private practice. So I am looking forward to delving in to all of that with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a piece that I struggled with initially was finding others who were coming from a similar place. And so I was looking through all the podcasts. I listened to so many episodes, and I think that's why I was really passionate about coming and talking to you today to offer that maybe support and perspective to those who are in a similar position. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that, because the more we can share our stories, the more that people can feel less alone, less isolated, and get the support that they need. Prior to doing private practice, what were you doing?
So I was actually a school counselor at one of our local high schools for the past 12 years. My last 2 years, I started to feel ineffective, and really wanted to take the opportunity to get my license and kind of do my own thing. And so last 2 years of my contract with the school, I worked on my hours and passed my licensing exam. But that was all really fresh. So I had been out of school, out of college, my master's program for over 10 years. So it was quite an endeavor. And I just got fully licensed at May of 2024. And at that point, I had signed up with Zenimi in January of 24. So I was working on my license, working on passing my tests, seeing clients after my school day. So it was pretty chaotic in the
That's a
moment.
lot.
Lots of building, lots of growing, lots of learning. But now I can look back on that and I'm so grateful that I pushed myself at the time.
Why private practice? You were saying you felt ineffective at your, like, it doesn't sound like it was lighting you up anymore to do work at the high school, but there's lots of other ways to be a therapist. Why this route for you?
Working in the education system, I think there were some frustrations of wanting to be able to have control over helping and the way in which I would help others. And I think I just felt passionate about having that full control. So if I was going to be moving from one system and going through that growth opportunity, I wanted to kind of get exactly what I wanted, which sounds kind of weird, but and I just felt like with private practice, I would have that full opportunity.
And in that like really crunchy period of like studying for licensure, starting to see clients, starting the practice, doing coursework and all this kind of stuff, how did you manage through that? Because there's, well, you could have paced differently. So I'm assuming there was like a purpose behind doing it this way.
Well, first of all, I also have two kids and I have my husband, so I had a lot of support from him running kids and picking up the slack where I couldn't. I don't know. I think that's kind of my personality is when I set my mind to something, I like get after it right away. But I also had this period of time with the summer. So I officially ended my contract with the school district at the end of May of 2024. And I knew I'd had this 3 month kind of window of time where I would still be getting a paycheck from the district. And so that I just saw as a window of opportunity for me to feel comfortable to take that risk and get everything set up. So I didn't have that additional anxiety of if I would be able to survive and pay bills and all of the important things.
What have you found in this process of launching that with like your concerns about being in a rural town, a conservative rural town, and wanting the kind of practice that you want? What myths have you busted, or what have you found to be true?
So that was a big concern for me, particularly working with just private pay and not working with insurance. So I knew again that when I started my private practice, I really wanted to be able to focus on treatment in a way that did not involve a third party or opinions, and just wanted to be able to treat clients the way that I knew they needed to be treated. And so I had huge fears going into that because being in my town in Montana, there was only one other practice that was doing private pay. And so I knew that not only would this be kind of a new concept, but then there was a lot of imposter syndrome just given the fact that I'm new to therapy, I'm new to my license, I'm starting a private practice. And so there were a bunch of those kind of barriers I had in my head that I really had to just keep pushing through. And so that's really why I think I reached out and joined Zenini was because I didn't have a lot of support or people that I felt like I could learn from in that space who had those same goals. So, but as far as, I mean, I can't say enough how grateful I am because I really have found that it doesn't matter if you are in a small town or if you are the first or the second or the third to work in that private pay space. I think people have been very receptive. My clients have been very receptive, and I really do feel like I'm being able to offer a very unique therapy experience, in part because I'm not tied to an insurance company and I just get to do what I know how to do.
What do you feel is unique about what you offer?
When I started to think about the kind of practice that I wanted to start, I was very focused on the client experience. And I don't think maybe we are often thinking from that perspective. So everything from where my office was located, I wanted to have this very beautiful and bright space for clients. So when they came to therapy, it didn't feel even more intimidating or daunting. Like I wanted it to be this very kind of self-care space that they felt like they got to come to. So from the very beginning, that was important. I think crafting my website in a way that felt inviting, that felt exciting and like we were celebrating therapy. And again, it's not just this thing for those of us who are broken. That was important as well. And I would also say like some of the tools that I utilize, I've created a journal for clients, different tools that I use in session, mm-hmm. and getting to kind of use that creativity that is very important to me has been huge for my practice as well.
So what do you think what are some of the big building blocks that you feel were like essential to where you are now in terms of that first year of growth? I mean, we're not even in the full year yet. We're like at month 9 or so, I think, around there. So what do you feel are like the big needle movers, I guess we'll say?
Regarding like how
you got to where you are now in your practice. Yeah.
Yeah. My website, I think, was huge. I mm-hmm. think that really set the tone for what a client could expect from me. Mm-hmm. And I put a lot of attention into building it along with the recommendations from Zinimi to make sure that my personality was shown and felt. Mm-hmm. And that it really stood out from other websites, mm-hmm. from other therapists around town. So that was really big. I did initially experiment with some social media ads. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually that was pretty productive for me, mm-hmm. as well. I think one of my concerns going into starting a private practice from scratch, being a new therapist, was that I really didn't have referral sources. So I hadn't been working in a group practice. I hadn't been seeing, I hadn't been working with clients previously. And so I was really starting from baseline. And so I think the ads allowed my name to get out there a little bit more.
Yeah, visibility. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So those two things, I think, were really huge initially for me. And then I've also recently joined the chamber, our local chamber. Mm-hmm. I've been working a little bit more on boots on the ground work. Mm-hmm. to get out there and meet new people and connect and network, which is really not my favorite. Mm-hmm. That's my discomfort zone for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, initially the website was huge for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you and I have talked a lot about the SEO aspect, and you have a unique situation being in a smaller town. Like, you have a lot of good opportunity for being ranked and being seen and visible in your area.
Yes, SEO, that was pretty amazing for me, and something I was tracking very closely initially. Mm-hmm. Well, I continue to track because I'm a data person and I like to see that too. From the very beginning, I went through and did a ton of SEO work on my website, and then the recommended blogs, I got to work on those. Mm-hmm. And within probably the first 4 months, I mm-hmm. went from ranking, I think I was in like the 60s, like I actually counted out like however many pages to get there. Uh-huh. And I went from that to being on the first page of Google, which was,
that's amazing. Felt
awesome. Cause
I love that.
When you do the work, you want to see the result.
Yeah.
So that felt really great. And I have received inquiries from Google, people who haven't heard of me any other place other than doing a Google search. Yeah. And so that feels really rewarding too.
Yeah. I love that. So if you are in a small town, you might find that it's quite, if you put in some effort, you know, you can stand out in your area because there is a need there. And what I appreciate is how you wanted to at least try to do the private pay to see if you could do it. And now that you are seeing that you can do it, do you plan to stick with it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I can't imagine going backward. Mm-hmm. I just feel so grateful that I kind of took that maybe risk and pushed past the fear initially, because I'm now reaping the rewards of clients who show up and they are just so ready to work. That part feels amazing. I just think it's a whole different dynamic, and not having to divert my attention at all from the actual treatment of my clients to billing and all of that stuff. But actually, I don't even have experience with, so I don't even know. I've just heard so many stories from other therapists and decided to heed that warning a little bit. And I'm grateful I did.
So where is your practice now, if you want to paint a picture of what it looks like compared to where you were January of this year? And this is now December 2024 that we're recording this. What is the comparison? Where have you been and where are you now?
Yeah. So I would say, well, I am almost full in terms of clients. I see about 18 to 19 clients a week. And I'm continuing to get inquiries, which feels great. So I feel really confident, particularly going into the new year when we know that there's usually an increase in inquiries for people seeking counseling. I feel really good about where I'm at right there. I also know that there's so much more that I'm excited to try and to learn that I haven't put into practice yet. More of that in-person networking. I'm excited to get a little more into that. But compared with where I started, it's just been a lot of kind of, I mean, for me, it's felt like consistent growth through each month. And at the same time, I'm learning. And so it's worked pretty seamlessly. So when I started out and didn't have a full caseload of clients, it allowed me to focus on the marketing, and it allowed me to kind of take that time for myself to figure out how to run a business and what that meant. And so it just, as hard as it felt in the beginning, I think, because I was trying to juggle so many things at one time, I'm also so grateful that I did, because it set me up to where I am today.
What kind of hours are you working comparatively?
Compared to when I first opened, first started?
Well, yeah, you were working a full-time job and doing practice. So when you had that full-time job to what you have now, how many hours are you working a week?
Oh my gosh. that actually was a growth experience for me too, going from having a set day where I showed up or I had to be to work by 7:30, 7:40, and then worked until 4, sometimes after. Having that set schedule where I couldn't take my kids to school, couldn't be there on the first day of school for them. Like I had to be at my school, to having so much more flexibility. That was actually really hard for me. And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, like I had this sense of guilt. Like I wasn't doing enough because I had this extra time in my day. So I have really had to learn to just kind of feel that discomfort and be okay knowing that I'm doing the work I'm supposed to do.
So would you say you are working less hours now?
Oh my gosh, yes. Sorry, that didn't really answer your question. Yes.
That's okay.
So I typically work, I have Thursdays completely free. So I'm only working about 4 days a week. And I see on average, like 4 to 5 clients a day. And so
a lot, it's a full schedule, and you're still able to have some free time that you're working through on the shame and the confusion around that, which is understandable. Right. I think we're born into this system that teaches us like how to be, how to work, what work looks like. And it's often in this 9 to 5, these longer days, then I'm working and I'm being productive, but like, who are we outside of that? And then when we're given that time, there's just a lot to reprioritize and start to realign with our values and giving ourselves permission to do that, you know, is countercultural.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I think too, having, it was a big change for me to go from being salaried for my whole working life to this big shift of my work equates to my paycheck on the hourly basis.
Yes.
And so that has been a mind shift for me as well. But I also, despite some of those, I don't know if we call them struggles, but learning opportunities, I wouldn't change a thing. It's felt very rewarding at the same time.
What has it done for you on like a physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, like how has this impacted you as a human?
Honestly, I think reflecting back over this year and the work that I've done with clients, I feel so much more value. I feel so much better about the work that I'm doing. And I mean, that process of being able to assist a client and work with a client toward their goals and witness those aha moments and that healing. And when they show up and they're like so ready to work and they're excited to be there and they are so happy with their progress and you get to be a part of that, like that is unmatched. Like I get chills talking about it because it's just the most amazing feeling. And to get to experience that while I also have more flexibility and I'm bringing home more money to support my family. I mean, it's like the best of all worlds, which it's just, yeah, it's amazing, really.
I love the idea of, you know, if you're listening right now, thinking about where you're at in your private practice journey or, and in your life and sitting with, how does it feel to be you? You know, do you get chills thinking or feeling into the work that you're doing? Do you feel lit up and drawn toward the business and life that you're creating? I think it's just something to tap into for all of us as we use that as a compass for where to be and where to put our energy.
Yeah.
For people that are listening, what kind of advice or encouragement do you have for someone that is in their private practice journey right now?
I would say no, like giving yourself grace, I think has been something I've had to continue to come back to. My husband has had to remind me a number of times. He frequently reminds me I'm my own worst critic, which we all, I think a lot of therapists, we tend to be in that same boat. And I've also had to remind myself in this first year that this is going to be the hardest, in my opinion. Like every month is a month that I have not gone through with my private practice before. And so there's going to be ebbs and flows of inquiries. It's not going to be a constant stream of people all the time. And even if it were, I couldn't keep up with that anyway. So that's not necessarily great.
Yeah.
Aside from that fact. And so reminding myself that this first year is going to be the hardest, but that in future years, I will have this year to kind of fall back to, like, I'll be able to learn so much more, and be prepared for future years and have that confidence that it's going to be okay. And then ultimately another thing I just love about having my private practice is that I can adjust. Like I get to make the decisions where if something's not working, I'm not relying on someone else to fix that for me. That I get to make those adjustments as I feel I need. I have the support of the Zenemy community. I've reached out multiple times. I've connected with people from across the U.S. Hi, Maya, by the way. I've been super fortunate that there have been times where I've been feeling that roller coaster of emotions and fear, and I've been able to connect with someone to remind me that it's all going to be fine. I would also say just being able to reach out to like-minded individuals, that I think is super key. So maybe talking to the therapist who accepts insurance is in a completely different situation, may not be the most helpful if you are really trying to build a practice with private pay clients.
Yeah. We talk about this a lot in business school about how trauma is like isolating and we just go off on our own and we think we have to do it all on our own and fix it on our own, but it's in community that we can heal. And I think it's the same for our businesses, that they can heal and flourish when we are in connection with people who are aligned in values and in beliefs and come together out of a spirit of support and not competition. There's no need for competition at all in this field. And what I love what you said about the lesson of sovereignty, right? That you are the creator of this business and you get to change and pivot and grow as you see fit. And you are a sovereign being who is in choice of what you choose to create. So I love all of that. I just want to say congrats to you in your first year. It's amazing. You're almost in your final bit of your year. And it's such an encouragement. I love hearing stories like this because, again, like I said, so many myths about, but I'm in this situation. I'm in this situation. That's why it won't work. And I like hearing that it can work because I believe it can. And thank you for being an example of that. And I'm sure it's going to be an encouragement to our listeners. So thank you, Bridget.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I recommend you check out Bridget. We'll have her information in the show notes. And if you would like more community, more support, check us out at zenemy.com. You can check out our free trainings and get started with really knowing that you aren't alone and that there's lots of resources and tools out there, even that are free. All right. Until next time.